Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Well, I'm glad you're here today. I'm so thankful for this church, me personally. I know I pastor the church, but I'm also like a guts guy. And matter of fact, I was on the board at ORU for 8 years, and Oral Roberts never, ever called me by my name. He'd always say, "Hey, guts guy." And I thought he thought it was cool or something. But and I'll just tell you, it's an honor to be the guts guy. And I hope it is for you as well. This past week, my dad passed away. And I want to just let you know, just because I want you to know the profound effect and impact that you had on his life. He adopted me, and I've always told people that he adopted me when I was 18 months old, because that's when he and my mom got married. But this past week, I got the adoption papers, and it was 1963, so I was 5 years old when he adopted me. And you know, by this time, you know, by the time you're 5 years old, your personality's pretty set. And you know, Sandy even said it last night. We were in a meeting, and Sandy said, "Bill, you're a wonderful man." And I cherished that moment, okay? She did say that. That's her exact words. She said, "You're a wonderful man." And she didn't leave it at that, though. She said, "But you're awkward." So I'll take wonderful yet awkward, I guess. That's pretty good. But and that the awkward part, my dad knew me and still adopted me and gave me his name. And you know, the guy whose name I had, I met him just a few years ago, and he's passed as well. But my dad passed this week, and I'll just tell you, he wasn't a rock star. I don't think anybody's going to write a book about him. He's just a good dad. And you know, I did his funeral Thursday, and man, I did it, and it was perfect. I got emotional, but like for this long, but then getting in front of you guys, it's, I don't know what the dadgum deal is. It's just more emotional for me. And, but I'll tell you, my dad moved to Tulsa because he loved this church, and he loved the people that he knew. A lot of you guys didn't know him, you know, and, I get it. People, you know, our dads die. And, you know, he's 87, and he squeezed as much, like every drop of life out of his body that he could. You know, he had prostate cancer 30 years ago, and they took the prostate. And as much as I know, I thought, well, it's done, it's over. And you know, and I think for him, he never even really said another word about it. But then it metastasized; it was in his bones, in his chest, and every doctor said he should have been in horrific pain, and he was in none. And I, just the thankfulness and the, and I was reminded that a man came up to me after the 9:30 service and gave his condolences, but he also said 2 years ago you prayed for me, and I had hip surgery that should have been very painful, and I didn't have any pain, and the doctor said, "I don't understand it." And then he said, "I remember that you prayed for me." And you know, my dad said that a number of times. He answered an altar call for prayer because his knee was bothering him. And then I'd take him to the doctor, and the doctor said, "How's your knee feel, Mr. Shear?" And he goes, "It's fine. Guts Church prayed for me." And everywhere I went, he'd introduce me. He said, "This is my son, Bill, and he's the pastor of Guts Church." And just was so proud of it. And I just want to thank you guys for, he sat over there. And he didn't have any Twitter followers. He never made a post. Didn't much like to talk on a cell phone. It wasn't till a couple years ago that he'd say, "Well, we better hang up. This is long distance." I'm like, "Dad, come on, dude." He went to buy a car at Bob Hurley Ford a few years ago, and he's sitting there, he's 85 years old, and he's sitting there, and you go to work the deal, and the guy said, "Well, Mr. Shear, how much you want to put down?" He goes, "Nothing." They said, okay, his credit was great. They said, well, you get a 4-year warranty. Would you like to extend the warranty? He looked over at me, and I'm looking at him like thinking, you're 85 years old. You have a 4-year warranty on this car. What are you thinking? And I'm just thinking, okay, I'll back your play, whatever you want to do. And he said, I sure do. And the guy goes, do you want 2 or 4 years? He goes, I want a 4-year extended warranty. I'm like, okay, you're going to be 93 years old and not have to do any maintenance on your car. Somebody else is going to do it. But that's just kind of how he lived his life, too. And I'll just tell you, for me, he was always there. And you guys that are dads, he said this, and it's so stupid. He kept saying this to me. He had a loop toward the end of his life, you know, where you go in and see him, and he just looped it. Like, it's like, hey, how are you? It's fine, and thanks for seeing me, and how's the family? How's Sandy? How are the kids? How are the grandkids? How's the church? Okay, what day is it? It's Saturday. Okay, you picking me up for church? I'm like, yeah, sure. But he would say this. He said, look, and we had a long talk, and I thanked him for giving me his name. And I hoped that I did an okay job with it. And he said, you know, what you and Sandy have done with your lives are the legacy of my life. And he said, and if you're going to bring a kid into the world, that kid doesn't have a choice. He said, so raise him and take care of him. I thank God for my dad, my hero. And I miss him terribly, but I got y'all, so I'm going to preach. Do you bring your Bibles? Open up your Bibles to Ephesians 1. I'll tell you, in 1978, I got a phone call. My mom and my brothers and my sister all had come to the Lord. And my dad was my rock because he didn't cave. My mom would want to be preachy to me, and my dad would say, hey, back off. Here, let him breathe. And I'm like, yeah, good, you know. And he was my lone holdout with me. He didn't like do all this peace and love and joy and tongues and all the Jesus stuff, you know, that was just kind of pitiful to me in 1978. And they wake me up. It's like 1 in the afternoon. And at the house I lived in, the phone was in the hallway on the first floor of the house. So I came downstairs and I got on the phone. I said, hello, and it's my mom. And she said, hey, your dad wants to talk to you. And I knew what it had. Somehow I just knew. I'm like, oh no, he caved. He said, son, and he started weeping. And he said, I gave my life to Jesus today. And I'm like, no. I said, what do you mean? He said, I answered the altar call. I walked up front. I said, you're kidding me. He said, no, and I got on my knees and I made Jesus the Lord of my life. And I knew that minute that everything was going to change in my life. And a year later, I had a hit call to my life, and you guys, most of you are familiar with the story, and I drove home, and I just want to talk to my dad. And he said, son, there's nothing I can do. He said, your mother and I have raised you, and we've taught you how to live, and you've chosen to take a different route, and you made your bed, you sleep in it. Which is, I was a grown man, sure. And he's eating a sandwich, and I'm freaking out because I knew I was going to die. And he said, but there's one thing I can do. And I'm like, no, tell me. I didn't say it, but I'm thinking, tell me you're not going to pray for me. And he did. And the hit got rescinded. And a few months later, I gave my life to Jesus. And it's a big deal that you serve God. It's a big deal that you're there for your kids, especially you dads. Just be there for your kids. You don't have to be a rock star. You don't have to. Your kid doesn't care how many followers you have. Most of your posts are going to embarrass them anyway. Man, my post. How many of you guys have seen people actually follow me on Instagram, and when have you ever seen a clear picture on my Instagram? And that's not a filter, it's just a shaky cam. And but I can't thank you enough for being our family. And because our connection is what we have. Do you understand that? See, the reason God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross, to live his life and die on the cross, why he lived for 33 years on the earth is he had to connect with people, had to make a connection. Went up to Peter and he said, are you going to be the next to go? And he said, where would I go? He said, someone else is fishing out of my boat. You have the words of eternal life. That's all I have now. But he had that connection. And on the cross, he connected with a centurion. When the centurion looked up and said, surely this is the Son of Man. This is the Son of God. This is him. What have we done? Why? Because he just was to connect with us. He made a connection with me. See, that's why God comes to live in you. God lives on the inside of you so that he can connect with people. And usually it's going to be hurting people. And I get it. This is God's church. I get it. There's people in here with drug issues. And there's people here with life issues. And there's real people in here. It's not people. I understand this is God. You're not coming in here and going, well, you know, man, we're checking our box in here today. Man, God's rubber stamped my life. No, let me tell you, the last thing you need to do, son, is to rubber stamp, is to check the box. Man, what you've got to do is you've got to open yourself up and let God come into your life and live huge on the inside of you. And then, you know what? Just like Chano said a couple weeks ago, you're going to look at things with a generous eye. You have to help people. Why? Because God lives on the inside of you, and God's aim for our lives is to connect with a hurting humanity, is to connect with failures, to connect with mistakes, to connect with bad decisions. Man, my dad didn't leave it with, hey, you made your bed, you sleep in it. He prayed for me. And you know what he prayed? God, you love my son more than I do. And God, you and I both know he's in error. He's not living his life right. But somehow, God, I ask you to deliver him from this mess that he's in. God, I ask you to save my son's life. God, I ask you to make yourself real and alive to him in Jesus' name. Amen. A few months later, that night, Jesus made himself real to me. A few months later, I gave my life to him. And then all I want to do, I'm telling you, in June of 1979, my life came alive. God didn't want to make me a better me. I didn't turn into a better me. God didn't fix me. God made me a new creation in Christ, a brand new me. That's who I am. And every day, I don't want to wake up a better me. I want to wake up that brand new me who God called me to be. And you know what? To return to my first love. Man, my first love, I'll tell you, is what can I do for you? My first love is, why? Because I don't have the skills that are required to do what I do. I don't have the skill set or the tools. I have a hammer. That's the tool that I have. If you're looking for somebody with a skill saw or a power tool or a Phillips, no, I've got a hammer. You got an issue, I'll beat it out of you. But see, the idea is it's not by might nor by power. It's not by my intellect. It's not what I bring to the table. It's who I bring to the table. Man, what can we do for you? That's what our billboard ought to say. Is your life right with God? I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you smell like. It doesn't matter what colored skin you have, where you were raised. All that matters is that God wants to connect with you. This matters. These services matter. And I love it that people are watching on their phone or on their iPad or listen to this on a podcast. But it matters that you're sitting in Skytook. It matters that you're in Sepulpa. It matters that you're in Tulsa. Why? Why? Because there's people that you can connect with. And let me just tell you, I'm not prognosticating, I'm not predicting anything. I'm just telling you by the Spirit of God, everything is going to come full circle and the church is going to be a necessary place for people. Where, yeah, it's good that we provide it anywhere. But I'll tell you what, I'm glad this sucker right here is here today. Because he needs you. Just like I was glad that you were here 15 years ago when you walked in because you needed people. He's got no chance without you. None. The world's going to roll him and smoke him without us. See, that's how we have to look at it. That's how I live my life. It's the connection that we make that it matters. It matters to me that Sandy Shear is sitting in here every service, has heard every story, has heard every joke, but still thinks I'm wonderful yet awkward. It matters that Roger Wash is here. It matters that Scott Hughes. It matters that these guys are elders. And you know, you'll say, well, what boxes did they check to become an elder? I might like to become an elder as well. Number one, I'm not sure you get how heavy the cloak is that they have to wear. Number one. Number two, I don't know how they become elders either. I'm just glad they are. See, because God's appointed us. And you know what I want to do? I want to step up to my appointment. No matter what fire's raging, no matter what battle's going on, no matter what storm's kicking up. See, that stuff doesn't matter. See, the fire doesn't keep us from our appointed rounds. No, you know what? We'll walk through the fire and not be singed. Man, write that down because I know you're in a fire. But you know what? That fire can't even singe you. Man, you'll think, well, but the devil hates me. I hope the devil hates me. I hope there's an alarm system in hell. When I wake up every morning, that alarm goes off and go, dear God, he's awake. Man, I'm not sweating the devil. If you're thinking, man, I'm under attack, good. Because greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world. Good, because no weapon formed against you can ever prosper. Good, because everything you put your hand to will. Good, because you're the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. See, we've got to change our mindset. We've got to draw some battle lines here. Man, it's time for us to put a stomping on the enemy to our soul and our families. Just because my dad was always there doesn't lay a guilt trip or shame on me. I just choose today from here on forward, I'm going to be there. And not just for my kids, for my family. Man, I think about Sandy. Everything that she's had to walk through with me, and she's always there. I can't be more appreciative than I am. I've had two people like that in my life now. I can't pee and moan about anything. What do I have to complain about now? I've had two people in my life now that are always there. And then I start thinking about other people, Scott and Rudd, people that I'm mentioning. They're always there. That's why church matters. Imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. See, we've got to imitate. Well, I got to be me. I'm going to build. No, don't be you. God wants to make not a better you, a new you. And let me tell you what the amazing thing about this church is, because let me tell you, times like this are real. Times like this are raw. And the idea now is that, wait a second. And here's what we've opened up, I believe, to many, many, maybe hundreds of thousands or more people. And if they can do it, if he can do it, I can do it. Man, I look at men like Bob Hurley. If Bob Hurley can do it, we can all do it, let me tell you. Man, you think about all the people that, what God wants to do in your life. Man, what you've got to do is you've got to crucify everything in your life that got you to this point. And the Bible, you say, well, but I gave my life to, when did you give your life to the Lord, Andy? Hurry up, son, we're on time here. Just guess. 6 months ago. He's an intern now. You know what God's doing? He's squeezing all of that death out of him so that there's more room for life. That's all God wants to do. And he wants to chisel and knock and squeeze everything out of us that doesn't glorify him. To where all that remains now is what glorifies God. And that's what's going to help people. But you know what it requires? It requires a connection. It's real simple at this church. Do you want to know how this church works? You show up 15 minutes early and stay 15 minutes late. Well, but I don't like people. Well, get over yourself. Let me tell you, there's a high number of people in here that bug me. I got to get over myself. It's not about me. I'm third. God's first. You're second. I'm third. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been. Yeah, you know what? You made your bed, you sleep in it. But you know what? There's one thing I can do. I can pray for you. In my dad's funeral, I brought up four things that I remember my dad telling me when I was in high school. The last one, this might be a little awkward for church, but he said, son, play your cards, not your money. And I'm telling you, the cards that God deals us makes it unfair to anything that's sitting across the table from us. Anything that we're having to deal with. The cancer that the devil's trying to trick you into submitting to has no chance against the hand that God has dealt you. Do you understand that? You just have to keep fear, unbelief, doubt, unforgiveness, bitterness. Keep all that stuff out of your life. Man, if you're going to say something about somebody, you say something that's good. Man, the other thing my dad told me is he said, man, if you're going to say it, you better do it. Man, I got to give you my life. Man, I gave him my life. It's not mine anymore. He just gave me his life to get me through this now. Where do I get? I get to eternity. Man, Paul wrote in Ephesians, he prayed, he said, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, the good news. Man, you heard the word of truth. See, there's facts and there's truth. There are. Facts are important. What are the facts? The truth is vital. Listen, the truth is what gives us our next breath. Man, our facts will choke us. Our facts will try to paralyze us. The facts will bring, they're like a first cousin to fear. But what does the truth do? The truth opens the door to God's glory. The truth opens the door, man, to the very life of God. The truth, our salvation. In him you also trust if you heard the word of truth. When you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of the glory, of his glory. And this becomes explosive in our lives because Paul continues and writes and says, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, your love for all the saints, don't cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Underline that, highlight that, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Guess what? The issues of your life, those fires, those battles, those storms, the facts of your life, all of that stuff becomes shadows in his light when wisdom and revelation comes into your life. And that's what God gives you. Instead of you, the next time you come to a situation and go, man, I'm not sure what to do. No, you know what? God's given me a spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of him. How many of you guys know God? Anybody here know God? How many of you guys know God? You have an intimate knowing of God. Then God's given you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. But you know what? Man, you can't tip to the factual side or the side that your flesh wants to tip to where I'm not sure what to do. And man, I don't know how to get out of this. Let me just tell you something. God will always provide an avenue of escape. That's what his promise is. The next temptation that hits you in your life, God's going to give you an avenue of escape. You just have to find it. And what does the Bible say? Seek and you'll what? Yeah. Knock and what? The door will be open to you. God will give you an avenue of escape. That's the very first scripture from 2 Corinthians that God gave me revelation of. There's no temptation known to man that God won't provide an avenue of escape. Man, I'm telling you, that's great news for a guy like me. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know the hope of his calling, what are the riches of glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that's named, not only in this age but also in the age to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. God gives us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And the eyes of our understanding, man, he enlightens us. The light comes on. What happens to darkness when light comes into the equation? I know that. You know that. That's how this works. Three things that you must get today. Number one, and it's all real simple, the hope of his calling. Hope. The hope of his calling. You know, it stimulates you mentally to live your dream. Number two, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. That means we all get it. Let me just tell you what this inheritance is. Have you ever known God to bless anybody? He has to bless you then. He's the God of precedent. Do you understand? We've all been given the same inheritance. We've all been given it. There's a hope in our calling, and everything about our life has no hope. Man, you want to pursue the call of God in your life? You'll always live in hope. You'll always be hope-filled. Number two, you have an inheritance, and it's riches of glory. Number three, the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. That power is a propulsion. That power is, it's driving and pushing forward. Hope, riches, power. That's what God gives us. That's what God promises us. See, and what we got to do is we got to draw strong lines now. We got to have boundaries in our life and think, okay, this is where I live my life now. This is what I do. This is what I don't do. And it's not a bunch of do's and don'ts. See, it's by the Spirit of God on the inside of you. See, the idea of this is that we're sheep, and he's our shepherd. So what's he going to do? He's going to lead us to green pasture, fresh water, and shelter, okay? Green pasture, fresh water, and shelter. That shelter is going to keep you protected. See, what God gives us is God gives us a grace that we live by, and that grace is a covering over our life that's impenetrable. See, the grace of God, it's his power, his supernatural ability, and his favor. Do you understand God's favors on your life? Have you ever thought about that? There's a supernatural favor that's on your life now. And you know what that favor? It's the same power that God utilizes and benefits our lives, where he said, let there be light. What happened when God said, let there be light? Everything lit up. What the heck? That's what happens in our life. That's a power that we have. So now, what do we have to do? We have to be able to speak that word, preach that word, proclaim that word in season and out of season, whether we feel like it or not, whether we feel like it's appropriate or it's not. Man, I'm telling you, I'm that street preacher that's out there that people go, man, it's inappropriate you talking about Jesus out here. We're not in church. Man, we're in a bar. We're in a parking lot. We're in a pool hall. We're in an alley. I'm like, really? My Bible says preach in season and out of season, whether it's appropriate or inappropriate. See, because there's no inappropriate time for us to speak God's word, for us to proclaim the truth. Because what does the truth always do? I'm going to leave you with this today. The truth always trumps facts. Facts change by design. The truth never does by design. So we want to live our lives by the design God has for our lives. We have to speak the truth and not just facts. Facts are important. Doctor gives you a diagnosis. At some level, that's important. But you know what I love when that diagnosis comes out of that doctor's mouth? is there's a name attached to it. And what does the Bible say? That name's above every name, far above principalities, powers, might, and dominion, far above anything that's subject to gravity. I'm just telling you, what the enemy means for bad, God turns it to good when you trust the truth. Romans 8:28 is real simple. All things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. God's working things out in your life right now. The things you're dealing with, that fire that's trying to rage, you'll walk through it and not be singed. Is it going to be comfortable? I doubt it. That we have some firefighters in here. I don't know that it's comfortable walking through fire. But the comfort on the inside that we know the promises that won't singe us. We won't be burnt. See, the idea of this is that we go through things. The operative word is through. That's why the Bible says, yet in all these things, we're more than conquerors. But it says we give thanks, not for it, but in it. Whatever trial, whatever we're going through. I'm thanking you, God. Why? Because the promise gets me out of it. The promise turns things around. How many guys have something in your life that you need turned around? And you know what? It might as well be today. Can I see your hands? Just turn some things around. You just need things turned around. I believe the Spirit of God's here today. I want you to stand. You're in the right place at the right time, and the Spirit of God that's on the inside of people that are all around this room that are agreeing with you by faith are going to turn these. You just need some things turned around. It's a simple question. Man, I need some things turned around in my life. And you know what? You might say, man, I got a gas bubble. I got a little indigestion. I'm telling you, yeah, that stuff, I guess at some level has some importance. But I'm talking about turnaround things in your life. I'm talking about that stuff that restricts how you breathe. I'm talking about that stuff that you wake up in the morning. It's at the front of your mind. Those things are the things that God will turn around. And I believe this. Are you ready? In the twinkling of an eye, in an instant. God doesn't work by time. God's not saying, well, it's going to take you about 6 hours to get through this one. No. We speak and it happens. Because here's what the Bible says. You see that mountain that's bugging you? And that's why you're standing there, because there's a mountain that's hovering over you. There's an authority that's trying to hover over your life. Man, and let me just tell you, if you're that chef in France, if you're that girl that makes handbags, I'm telling you right now, you'd have wished that you'd have heard this word. That's what breaks the power of depression and suicide and all the jacked up stuff the world tries to lay on us. Well, life hadn't been fair. Man, I was born black in a white world. Let me just tell you, this isn't a white world. This is God's kingdom. Doesn't matter where you're raised. Doesn't matter what you're dealing with. What do you think? What you're dealing with matters to God less than what he's dealing with? No. You're the apple of his eye. The Bible says that God is constantly mindful of you. Man, the question is, why would God be mindful of me? I'm just a man. You probably had those thoughts. Well, I don't know. Let me just tell you, I'm not the one that created this. God did. God's mindful of you right now. God's mindful of what you're dealing with right now. Are you all married? This is a turnaround day for you. It's a big day for your marriage. When two of you sit in the middle of a church service like this and you got some raw Yahoo preacher up here preaching and the Spirit of God can move and he's moving on your behalf, you know what? God may have had me, have everybody here stand here today just for you two. But you know what? You got to believe it. I know there's already a sense on the inside of you that God's doing something, huh? Man, there's people at Sepulpa and Skytrick that better be standing right now. There might be people in hotel rooms or in airports that are missing service that better be standing right now. Because the Bible says this. You'll think, well, my posture doesn't matter. No, you know all God needs him to do today is to take a stand. That's all he needs to do. And you know what? There may not be anything else he can do. God gets him to stand. You know what he does? Pours liberty out on you. You know what you need today? Freedom. You need liberty. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. It's not so that we could be crystal clean church people. No, you're coming in here with some baggage, sir. You're coming here with some issues. And God could care less about it. You're his son. He's taking care of all of your issues. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. And you'll say, well, yeah, but what if the devil takes me out? Let me tell you. If the devil hadn't been able to take him out yet, he can't take folk out. Do you understand that? Devil can't kill you. Devil can't take you out. He could just deceive you and lie to you and accuse you. You know the accusations this fella here's had to deal with? None of them come from God. God didn't care what you did last night. Yeah, but preacher, you don't know what I've been doing. Yeah, you're right, I don't. Thank God. I just know what I've been doing. And guess what? His arms are open. He's got me in his hands. And look at what you've been through. And nothing could snatch you out of the Father's hands. On a scale of 1 to 10, what kind of marriage, what kind of home life do you guys want? Just tell me what you want. Higher than a 10, a 10. It's awesome. You're married to a guy that won't be limited by the highest number. Is that what you want? The Bible says this, make your requests known to God. And when you ask in trust. Well, I don't know if it's ever going to happen, but I'm going to ask for a better than 10 marriage. What are you talking about? Remember the scripture I just quoted? Life that eye hasn't seen, nor ear heard, nor you can't imagine what God has for you. Shoot. That you guys are still married? Would probably amaze everybody, huh? I don't know you. I just know God. You know what God does? God sits people right in the middle of our service that are dealing with things, that are going through things, that are losing hope, that don't feel like they have a chance. And he directs me to say, bull. See, that's what I do. I just play the bull card. I don't believe it. I don't believe that your days are done. I don't believe that your marriage isn't going to be above a 10. I believe it is. Can you take her hand? Can you ask God to give you a better than 10 marriage right now in the name of Jesus? Go ahead. Go ahead. Ask God. Why don't you guys smooch or something? Go ahead. Turnaround day right now. You hear me? Devil didn't kill my dad. I'm just going to make him pay for it. God, I just thank you right now in the name of Jesus for every person standing in this room. God, I thank you that their steps are ordered of you. God, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus for a turnaround in every life in this room, every person in this room. God, especially these folk that are standing. God, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus. God, that you give him the desires of his heart. God, your word promises that you'll not withhold any good thing from those who walk uprightly. God, these guys are standing. God, these guys are walking uprightly right here and right now. And God, we put a demand on your promise. God, I thank you that you not withhold what they need for a turnaround in whatever area, whatever storm, whatever fire, whatever fight. God, I thank you right now. It's a brand new day. A new day for her. God, you're not making her a better her. You're making her a new her in the name of Jesus. And God, I thank you for what you're doing right now. God, I thank you right now that you put us in this fight to win. And we don't fight as one who shadow boxes anymore, God. God, we're laying a haymaker on the devil right here and right now on our situation, on our circumstances. And God, I thank you that we are born to win. God, I thank you that what you've planned for us, that Jesus being the author and finisher of our faith, God, I thank you for resurrection power in my brother's life right now. God, I thank you. God, you caused resurrection to come into his life right now. In the name of Jesus, God, stir the gifts up in him. God, I thank you for the hope of the calling in his life. God, the riches of the glory that's in him. And God, I thank you for the exceeding greatness of your power. God, I thank you right now that you help his belief. God, I thank you right now that you help him with his unbelief. God, bless every person in this place. God, I thank you right now for what you're doing. God, you're so amazing. God, you're great and greatly to be praised. Now, God, I call upon the name of Jesus. And God, I thank you that this room is full of people agreeing with these words right now. God, I call upon the name of Jesus right now for a turnaround in his life. God's turning things around right now. God's turning things around right now. Man, you don't look at it from the same angle that you were looking at it when you came in here. The reason you stood, you're looking at it from a certain angle. You know what the Bible says? God's a lifter of your head. And you know what? Now you're looking at it from a higher angle. And see, what happens is when we get higher, the things that we're looking at become smaller and smaller and smaller. And God elevates our life, and those things become smaller and smaller and smaller. Man, all these guys here are agreeing with you. All these guys here are agreeing with you. There's people sitting in your section right now that are agreeing with you by faith. And God's elevating you right now. And that issue that's in your life, sir, that issue, man, the more you're elevated, the smaller that things get. And at some point, it's insignificant. God, I thank you that our significance is in you. And God, the reason we're standing right now becomes more and more and more insignificant. We serve a significant God, and we battle with an insignificant enemy. And God, we thank you for what you're doing. God, we thank you for what you're about. Just lift your hands and thank God for your turnaround right now. Thank God for your great marriage. Thank God for your needs being met. Just lift your hand. Just thank him. Just let it come out of your mouth. Let people around you hear you. Thank you, God. God, I thank you. My dad's in heaven. God, I thank you right now for the life you've given us. God, I thank you for that baby that's in Brooklyn's baby belly. God, I thank you for Kennedy having safe travels today. God, I thank you. Make it personal. Just thank God today for the great marriage that you have. Thank God that all your needs met. Thank God that you got more resources than the world has need. That God's hand's on your life. That you're never going to be the same today. From this moment forward, you're never going to be the same. Now, here's the last decision I want you to make. The enemy that you've faced up to this point, that you'll not see that enemy again. Walk away from this battle in triumph and victory in the name of Jesus.